elections.pacifica.org for more information, or call 707-500-1910 to leave a voicemail for the election supervisor.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and on the web at kpfk.org, Pacifica Radio for all of Southern California and beyond.
Of the Lawyers Guild
blood
show.
Work
and by the way, my illustrious co-host Jim Lafferty is away for June and July, but he'll be right back with us in August, and we are all looking forward to that. In the meantime, we've got a special treat. I'll be spending the hour with one of the most courageous journalists I know, whose investigative reporting has put his own life and limbs at risk. In fact, the Chicago Tribune calls our guest doggedly independent and undaunted by power. And indeed, today we'll be discussing his most recent work about Trump, the KKK, election corruption, even vote stealing that's happening right now as we speak. And we'll also get a glimpse into an upcoming film based on his research of the Koch brothers. But before I introduce our guest, I want to remind you that it's KPFK's Fun Drive time. I'll talk more later about how you can pledge or renew your support to our beloved host station, KPFK 90.7 FM. It's up to us, up to you and me, to keep this going loud and strong. And KPFK is turning 65 this year, by the way. So it's now my pleasure in just one moment to introduce our guest this hour, the one and only Greg Palast. Greg is known for his investigative reports for The Guardian, BBC Television, Rolling Stone, and his string of New York Times bestsellers, including The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, that one is a little tongue twister, and many more. Greg also has spent decades investigating corporate fraud over five continents. For his journalism, he's received too many awards to list, and I'm happy to share he's also ventured into filmmaking. His last film was Vigilante, Georgia's Vote Suppression Hitman, which I got to see at the premiere. It was awesome. That one's narrated by Rosario Dawson and produced by Martin Sheen. And then we're also going to hear today about an upcoming movie that's based on decades of his research into the Koch brothers and how they've stolen billions from the Osage Nation. Greg Palast, thank you so much for joining me today on the Lawyers Guild show. Hope you're on mute, though. That's probably something Greg
unmute.
Is not used to. Yes.
Unmute. I bet a lot of my critics would love to have a mute button on me.
Well, too bad for them. Not today.
Yes. Not today. Not at all.
So, Greg, to start us off, I was so intrigued by the title of an article that was on your website. It was called Vigilantes, Inc., Trump Plan for 2024, taken from KKK Plan of 1946. And with all the attention Trump is getting about his trial in New York, I'm afraid that some of the more sinister aspects of his campaign that you discussed here might be flying under the radar. So please talk about this article and what inspired you to write it.
What inspired me to write it is what they're doing. I did a film, as you say, you saw the premiere. We invited a bunch of KPFK people to join us, Jamie Foxx, for the special ACLU showing of Vigilante, Georgia's Vote Suppression Hitman. What happened in Georgia and what that film was based on was that we had we have something unusual happening in this election, which we haven't had since the Ku Klux Klan of 46, which is that in Georgia, they were allowing individual people, vigilantes, self-described vote fraud hunters challenge the votes of other people. In other words, I can say, don't let Jim Lafferty vote. He doesn't really live in Los Angeles. Now, this was used, this originally was a scheme that was created by the Ku Klux Klan in 1946 in Georgia by its strategist, chief strategist was Gene Talmadge. They incorporated themselves into something called Vigilantes Inc., which is the name of our new film coming out, Vigilantes Inc., which is based, which is what the Ku Klux Klan incorporated itself as. They did it so that they could commercialize and kind of organize and industrialize the system of challenging, of individual voters challenging Black voters in Georgia. And the FBI found that in some counties, they literally, if you go to gregpalace.com and read the article, you'll actually see FBI documents that we got from 46 showing that they literally challenged every single Negro voter in a county. The term Negro very much of 46. Believe it or not, they're going to arrest Governor Talmadge, but he drank himself to death just before the arrest. Now, that's interesting because what was considered illegal crime that you could bust, that you could handcuff a governor for in 46 is now perfectly legal in the United States, despite the passage of the Voting Rights Act. So what we have is in this, so in the last election, GOP operatives, and I'm not picking on the Republican Party because I'm partisan. It's just that it's only Republicans, 80 of them, who challenged, ready, 180,000 voters in Georgia said that they shouldn't be allowed to vote, including there's one guy who actually, who's the vice chairman of the Republican Party in Georgia, and he actually dresses up as a vigilante with loaded six guns, the killer Doc Holliday from the OK Corral. Who was originally, by the way, born in Georgia. And the reason why he went to Oklahoma Territory from Georgia is that he actually killed three Black Union soldiers in cold blood while they were bathing in his swimming hole. He just murdered them. And that's why he took off from Georgia. This guy thinks that this guy is a wonderful guy to imitate, this killer. And he personally, this GOP operative, personally challenged 4,000 voters, the majority of whom were Black soldiers at Fort Benning, Georgia. This is Columbus, Georgia. Black soldiers, including Major Gamaliel Turner. Now, Gamaliel Turner's father is a founder of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Martin Luther King. So they picked on the wrong guy. So he challenged 4,000 voters right to vote. Now, Turner found out that he was challenged. He was asking for his absentee ballot. He was assigned by the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, he's a soldier, to California. And they refused to give him his absentee ballot because they said he'd been challenged. He says, what does that mean? And he said, well, this guy challenged you, so you have the right to, you can only get your ballot if you just, all you have to do is just kind of come in and show us your ID and prove you're a citizen and that you live in Georgia. Now, here's an American soldier who has to prove he's a citizen. So he says, so in other words, you're telling me 3 days, this is a quote from the film, 3 days before the election, that all I have to do is fly 2,700 miles to Georgia to prove I'm a citizen again. Whereas he's already an American soldier. He's already a registered voter saying he's a citizen. And here they had taken away his vote. And they said, yeah, that's what you got to do. So, by the way, he did it. He ultimately flew to Georgia, bringing a top voting rights attorney with him, and he got his vote. But the other 4,000 Black soldiers and others didn't get their vote. So 4,000 people lost their vote in Columbus, Georgia, based on this phony vigilante challenge, this guy going after soldiers saying that they don't live where they live because they're assigned somewhere. Now, understand, Trump only lost Georgia by 11,000 votes. 4,000, and we lost 4,000 in Columbus. Imagine if other than Columbus, if those other vigilante challenges, 180,000 gone through, even 10% of them would have resulted in Trump being elected. Through by winning Georgia. But we were able to stop them. You saw our film, the first version, which is a short version meant just for Georgians. Now we're making it take it national because what happened was, while it didn't stop Trump, it didn't stop the reelection of Senator Warnock in Georgia. They saw how successful it was and that the courts were approving it. So believe it or not, even though the major got his vote, the other 4,000 were knocked out, unless you actually go to court. So they're taking this vigilante business and taking it around the country. It's being headed by a group called True the Vote. They're the people that came up with that goofy film, 2000 Mules. So you have now a whole bunch of states, Arizona, Texas, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, all states that Trump barely lost to Biden. Remember, Biden became president by 44,000 votes out of 180 million. So they're going to be using these vigilante challenges in those swing states. So the whole point of the brand new film, Vigilantes, Inc., is to make it a national film. We're making it longer, and we go to all these states. It was just in Arizona and Texas. And saying, here's what they're doing, this whole new vigilante challenge system, which no one is touching, no one's talking about. And I'm not going to tell you who you should vote for president. If the public wants Trump, let them vote for Trump. But if Trump is chosen by vigilantes as opposed to voters, that I've got a big problem with. So that's why we're doing this film. And the film, by the way, is, again, the producer is Martin Sheen, my favorite president, President Bartlett. Maria Florio, who is Academy Award winner for Best Documentary. And Steve Nemeth. And George DiCaprio, I think you've heard of his son, Leonardo, with whom I'm working on another film as well.
Wow. Well, also, you know, going back to Georgia, can you remind us about some of those tactics that were used? And I'm thinking of by Brian Kemp as well to secure his, you know, quote unquote, victory against Democratic opponent Stacey Abrams in 2018. So right. Can you remind us about some of the tactics that were used? And then what's the current status? Are voters in Georgia any safer now than they were back then?
Definitely not safer. So understand, Brian Kemp is the governor of Georgia. For some reason, 60 Minutes and a lot of Democrats love him because Trump hates him because he wouldn't steal another 11,000 votes to put him over the top in Georgia. Believe me, he tried as hard as he could. But as you know, everyone else who went along with Trump's scheme has been indicted and is facing felony charges and jail time. And the governor, he loves Trump. I saw them together at a rally. They were practically, you know, French kissing. But what he wasn't going to do was go to jail for Trump and give up his governor's seat. So that's why people think he's heroic. He's not heroic. He's just trying to stay out of prison. But when he was Secretary of State, that's the person in charge of voting in any state. He removed a third of a million voters from the voter rolls, a third of a million, overwhelmingly voters of color, on the grounds that they no longer lived at their voting address. Well, I actually went, we spent a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars, to get the addresses from the post office. You can actually, your addresses and address changes are public records. And we found that 340,140 of these voters were still at their proper voting address or within their own county. You know, if you stay within your own county, if you move within Los Angeles County, for example, you don't have to re-register, though I certainly recommend it. So he removed a third of a million voters. That's how he's able to beat Stacey Abrams by 50,000 to become governor. Once he was governor, he signed a bill called SB 202 right after the Trump loss, which permitted these new vigilante challenges. So Governor Kemp, the Republican governor, has been a nightmare. In fact, one of the things we try to also bring out, there's a long history of this. His family was involved in Jim Crow forever. And in fact, it was his family, Brian Kemp's family, as we point out in the film, was the first family to bring black people in chains from Africa to work their plantations. The reason why that he's one of the richest people in Georgia is that is based on the money that they made off enslavement. So, and you can't get away from taking away people's human rights. And then the next thing step you have to do is take away their voting rights. And that's what Brian Kemp is a specialist at. But he's being followed up. His methods are now being picked up in, like I say, when we talk about Arizona and Michigan, Texas, Nevada, et cetera, these are states that often have Democratic governors, but they have Republican, because of gerrymandering, they have Republican legislatures, and they're the ones that are putting together these. There we go. Sorry, I lost you for a moment. Hello? See my latest work at gregpalast.com, gregpalast.com. Okay. Are we back on?
Hello, we're back on. Phew.
Great.
I don't know what happened, but.
As soon as I said the word, you know, so as soon as I said the word Brian Kemp, the Republican governor, that was it, man.
Oh, there's so many times when my Wi-Fi goes wonky or, you know, yeah. Especially when I'm talking to those ACLU people. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for sticking with us. So, yeah, where were you? You were, yes, we were talking about the,
that these
tactics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, the problem is that, that these tactics that are usually Georgia tends to be the place where they take these tactics for test drive because you have a huge Black population, which is highly politically active. And at the same time, you also, and it's a swing state. People didn't believe that. You know, people used to say, oh, Georgia, just that's redneck red. No, it isn't. Not if you're in Georgia. It is, you have a progressive Atlanta, and you also have a huge Black population. And between those two things and a new Hispanic population, it's really a blue state. If they let everyone vote, it's Georgia's a solid blue state. And that's true, by the way, of Texas. It's true, by the way, of Arizona. True, by the way, of Nevada, if everyone gets to vote, the GOP doesn't stand a chance. So they know that. So they use vote suppression tactics. Again, I'm not being partisan. It's just that these vigilante challenges are only done by Republicans around the country. And mm-hmm. it's headed by a group called True the Vote, which came up with this wacky film called, but very as Donald Trump says, it's the most impactful documentary in history. And it is. 2000 Mules claims to show on camera, Black men stuffing ballot drop boxes. You know, you have these outdoor drop boxes for votes. Well, because every drop box has a camera on it and the film is public. So you can, that's to keep it honest. What they did was they simply took Black people putting ballots in the box and saying, literally they use phrases like, there's O.J. Simpson getting away with the ballot stuffing. They simply would show Black men putting ballots into a box and that was automatically a crime. Well, they just got sued by one of the Black men that they said was a felon vote stuffer. And they're going to end up paying that they put on camera. They've stopped with showing the film. They stopped distributing the film. But millions and millions of people have seen it. And it's been incredibly effective in getting Republican legislatures to pass these laws saying that, well, what we need is we need vigilantes. We need citizens who can challenge these ballot stuffing voters. And also they're removing ballot boxes everywhere, drop boxes. Now you might think, well, big deal, a drop box. It's like a mailbox, but just for ballots. What's good about it is that you got a camera on it and it's highly safe. You can't reach into it, et cetera. And no one has ever found a single illegal ballot in a drop box, though we've had something like 20 million in the last election. You have no idea how many times these things are recounted and looked at. Every ballot, by the way, you don't have a secret ballot. Every ballot has a VR code on it, has coding on it. So you can't actually, if a ballot is sent to Greg Palast, someone else can't vote that, can't copy it and vote twice because because that'll show up as Greg Palast voting twice. So you don't have, there's no problem with voter drop boxes, but they're saying, but the real problem with voter drop boxes is that they're used by minorities in urban areas. People that work all day, work at a 7-Eleven, they go out at night and they want to be able to stick their ballot in the box at 3 a.m. on their way to their home from the graveyard shift at the 7-Eleven or whatever. What we've found is that the expansion drop boxes massively increases minority and youth voting because then you don't have to stand in line for 5 hours. Remember that a lot of the reasons for this is that in Atlanta, I was in a line that was 5 hours long. On election day, 5 hours, because they didn't have enough polling stations. Whereas in the white communities, there's virtually no waiting at all. So if rather than wait 5 hours, you could stick your ballot in the drop box. Well, they actually prevented it. If you had your ballot in your hand and there's a drop box literally 2 feet from you, you weren't allowed to use that Dropbox on election day. These are the games that they're playing. Whoa. The result is, are you ready for this number? Which was, okay, you had MSNBC, the New York Times, Washington Post, Fox News, every right wing to left wing saying that there's a record turnout in Georgia's last Senate runoff election. That's a lie, a complete lie. In the last Senate, because they said, look at all those lines. Look, we had the highest number of people in a single day. Well, that's because they changed the number of voting days from 60 to 7. When you go from 60 days to 7, you're going to have longer lines on those 7 days.
Yep.
And they use that as a record turnout. In fact, here's what happened. Here's the real numbers, which I didn't see in a single newspaper, while including Rachel Maddow crowing, oh, there was a record turnout in Georgia. Yeah, there was a record drop. We went from 4.1 million votes in the Senate runoffs 2 years ago. This Senate runoff had only 3.1 million votes. You had a drop of 1 million votes, and the entire drop of 1 million was a drop of 1 million in the number of ballots and drop boxes. Ballots and drop boxes went from 1.1 million to 0.1 million. So you had more than a 90% drop in drop box voting. And that almost cost Senator Warnock his seat. But I will say that the public radio, your fellow public radio station, WRFG, the Pacifica station in Atlanta, said Senator Warnock would not have been reelected. He's the Black Democrat who was reverend of the Ebenezer Baptist Church, that he would not have been reelected if not for the work of Greg Palast and his team. Why? Because our film warned people to check their registration. We had some elections officials who watched our film and said, I don't care. I'm not going to remove people.
Wow. Well, I remember it was really, you were making the rounds, you know, going, I mean, you were working hard to show that film before Election Day. And yes, speaking of public radio, it is a great time to remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is Pacifica's KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. And this is the Lawyers Guild Show. I'm your host, Maria Hall, and I'm speaking with investigative journalist Greg Palast. And just a quick reminder, it's KPFK's fun drive time. And as Greg knows, as I know, as you, our listeners know, there's never been a more critical time to support our free and powerful KPFK host station. So $5, $50, $500, whatever you can afford to give, we appreciate it. We bring it all together. We work miracles here on a shoestring budget. So please do pitch in, 818-985-5735. We are not going to dwell on the fundraising because I want to make sure that Greg gets to tell you all about the new film that's coming out as well. But please do, just while you're listening, you can go online and check out some of the fun premiums, the thank you gifts for making your pledge, you know, or just give. So Greg, let's switch gears now.
I believe that I was just told that you have copies of my film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, is one of your premiums.
Awesome.
So if you want to get The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and I think a couple of the books, which is a New York Times bestseller, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, that you have those as premium. You can ask people. I think it's a $100 donation. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. But when you call
Very
in,
cool.
either call in or check online.
Yeah, online has everything. Oh, that's great. I'm sorry I didn't know that before. I'm a little embarrassed, but all right. Okay. I'm going to go on at the break and get one myself. No, that's great. And I do want to ask you about now shifting from Georgia to Oklahoma.
Okay.
And the Osage Nation. So I am really looking forward to your new documentary coming out, exposing how the Koch brothers skimmed billions from the tribal oil claims. Okay. Can you tell us about that? I know it really came from decades of research.
Well, this is, by the way, if you just tuned in, this is Greg Pallast. I'm an investigative reporter. If we were on television, you could see I'm wearing I have a fedora, so that's how you know I'm an investigative reporter. Anyway, so besides the film Vigilantes, Inc., which will be coming out, Leonardo DiCaprio has encouraged us to make a film with the Osage Nation. What's this about? If many of you have seen the film, I hope you all see it. If you haven't, go grab it now. Killers of the Flower Moon. And that was Martin Scorsese's film with Leonardo. And that film is about the murder of Osage Indians for their oil. This is the Osage Nation happened to buy this horrible piece of property in Oklahoma. You really can't grow anything on it. It's pretty bad territory. But it happened to be by 1890, they discovered that that their reservation was on top of the biggest oil strike in American history up to that time, even bigger than Texas. And suddenly the Osage became very wealthy. They had airplanes. They sent their kids to Stanford and Oxford and UCLA. And they had the highest number of Pierce Arrows in the nation. That's the equivalent of Rolls Royce today. So they're very, very wealthy natives. And we're not used to that in America, you know, the tribal people having tons of money. So immediately white guys said, how do we get it back? So they started messing with the laws and taking control of the Osage Nation. And one of the things that they were doing was simply murdering Osage Indians. They would marry them and kill them. That's the main story of Killers of the Flower Moon. The guy would marry into, you'd get a white guy marrying into a family and literally kill six or seven people in that family till he inherited all their oil wealth. And they had other tricks as well. So that's the film Killers of the Flower Moon, but that ends in the 1920s. What happened to the Osage Nation after is also a crime wave. The big oil companies left, Phillips Petroleum, Getty, Sinclair, they all began with the Osage Nation. That was their first oil, which made them trillionaires, not just billionaires, but trillionaires, created this trillion-dollar industry that off the Osage oil. Osage, by the way, were not allowed to own oil themselves, just so you know. That was in the American law. But after all the big oil was gone, the Bureau of Indian Affairs approved contracts for a small company out of Wichita to take the remaining oil, a little bit of oil that was left. And this little company out of Wichita is called Koch Oil and Koch Industries. And that's where, they were given a contract to go around with trucks to pick up oil. Now, you have to understand, there's a big, vast area. There's these teeny-weeny pumps that are pulling up about 15 gallons of oil a day. So it's not worth it to run a pipe. So instead, you have a truck. There's a little holding tank next to each of these little pumps. You've seen those. You know those rocking horses that you see sometimes? Those are called pump jacks, and they're pumping up oil. So the trucks would show up, take the oil and leave a slip of paper saying how much oil they took. It was on and still is on a trust me system. In other words, like the truck pulls up and Koch Oil told their truckers, Charlie Koch himself, Charles Koch personally told his truckers, I want extra. I want overage. What he would do is they would take 100 gallons of oil and they write down that they took 60 gallons of oil and they would steal a third of it. That's all. They literally just would steal it straight out. And we calculated that it was about $2.4 billion or about $6 billion in today's money. This is the source of the Koch brothers' multi-billion dollar wealth. This is their first billion was from oil stolen from the Osage. So we're making a film about the theft of oil by the Koch brothers from the Osage Nation. We're working closely with Chief Jeffrey Standing Bear. By the way, Chief Standing Bear is a trial lawyer. He's still listed, are you ready for this, by the U.S. government as mentally incompetent. Can't handle his own affairs.
Oh, my God.
Elise Patchen, who is the poet who wrote Killers of the Flower Moon, she went to Oxford and Harvard and started the Oxford Poetry Review. She's listed as an incompetent Indian by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. We have literally Stanford professors who are Osage listed as incompetent, including, for example, Maria the great prima ballerina, Maria Tall Chief. Her father was the Tall Chief. People think she's Russian. No, she wasn't. She's an Osage daughter of the chief. And the great prima ballerina. These people are all listed as mentally incompetent, unable to handle their own affairs. So we're exposing that game by the Bureau of Indian Affairs too. So they're at war with the Kochs, not only for having stolen their oil, but the Kochs, after they left, and the oil companies, big oil companies, Standard Oil, Getty, the rest, they just left all these holes in the ground. Up to 46,000 wells that are just abandoned, orphaned, uncapped, and they're spewing methane into the air. Now, you have to understand, methane, everyone's worried about CO2. CO2 ain't nothing when you talk about punching a hole in the ozone in the hemisphere. When you talk about global warming, methane is criminal number one. It's 86 times more destructive, each molecule versus a molecule of CO2. And this is so the natives want this, the Osage want these oil companies and the U.S. government to step up and start plugging these wells. They have a big plugging program, the Osage are literally plugging up hundreds and hundreds of these wells. And to try to save, not only, obviously, it's also spewing poisons and filth into their water supply. Besides the being poisoned, they kind of want to, you know, like the head of their minerals group, the guy who runs their oil operation, Everett Waller, who's also known as, in old colloquial terms, would be known as the tribe's medicine man. He's a spiritualist. He says he plugs more wells than a lot more wells than he drills. He's doing almost no drilling for oil. He's doing basically plugging, and he wants to get rid of oil. He wants to go to geothermal resources that are there, but he's blocked by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. He's blocked by the U.S. government because they are not allowed control of their own land because they are supposedly mentally incompetent. I'm talking about today. This is 2024. I'm not talking about 1924. Talking about 2024. So we're making this film, and the film is called Long Knife. Long Knife. Go to gregpalace.com to get more information about it. Long Knife, the Osage Nation, Coke Oil, and the New Killers of the Flower Moon. And that will be out. I don't know when it will be out, but that's funded by my foundation and also Leonardo and George DiCaprio. I thank them. And George DiCaprio is the producer on the film. It is an amazing film because we work so closely with the Osage, and they want their story told because we need it. We need it told.
Yes. Yeah. And for our listeners, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Pacifica's KPFK 90.7 FM. This is the Lawyers Guild Show. I'm your host, Maria Hall, and I'm speaking with investigative journalist Greg Palast. This is our sort of normally we would do a 30-second station ID break here, but instead we'll just remind you that it is KPFK's fun drive time. So please do, while you're listening, make your donation $5, $50, $500, whatever you can afford. Please pitch in. I know we don't do as much pitching as we used to, but we probably need it arguably even more than in the past because things are very expensive. And KPFK is listener sponsored. KPFK does not take money from big oil, from big pharma, from all of those big corporations that have tons of money to pay people like me to tell people like you what they should think. KPFK doesn't roll that way. So KPFK is for critical thinkers, for people who want to know the truth, even when it's not always pleasant. We have to know, because otherwise we're going to be led to slaughter. So please do, kpfk.org. And I want to go back to another question for investigative journalist Greg Palast. Greg, why don't you, can we step back for 1 second? And just in case, I mean, I kind of just assumed that, about the Koch brothers, you know, sometimes we assume that everyone knows who that is, but they don't always make headline news. Sometimes they're just in the background paying for things.
Yes.
So can you kind of just give listeners, you know, the nutshell version of just who these Koch brothers are, K-O-C-H, and why it's important to know who they are.
Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, there are four of them. What we know is as the guys who formed like what is known as the Koch network, or sometimes the Kochtopus, this massive billion-dollar right-wing political operation, which is has been for decades the number one funder of right-wing activities. Things like, for example, the U.S. Supreme Court, five of the nine members are affiliated with the Federalist Society, which was founded by Koch. They created these fake climate denial organizations. They put up $135 million to create a fake science center at MIT where you got a guy, professor runs out and says, oh, we don't know about climate. You know, the science is not determined. Really? Where have you been? I hope you have your suntan oil with you, buddy. You know, it's so ridiculous that you're laughing, but you know, they put billions into climate science denial, into right-wing candidates, and they literally have bought the judiciary. They were caught in the 1980s by the FBI making illegal campaign contributions. You know, Citizens United made corporate campaign contributions legal. The reason why we have that law is that the Koch brothers were caught making illegal corporate campaign contributions. And to stay out of prison, they bought themselves a Supreme Court, which gave them Citizens United, which kept Charlie Koch out of prison. So there's four brothers. There's Frederick, who is Fred Jr., who's not much to remember. He wasn't involved in any of this business. Bill Koch, who is he's kind of a right-wing guy who supports right-wing causes, but he is in a war with his other two brothers, Koch Industries and Koch Oil, as we know as their monster multi-billion-dollar group. And by the way, Charlie Koch today is worth between 60 and 100 billion. Let me repeat this, 60 and 100 billion dollars. Even buys love, for example, we couldn't get our film made with Ken Burns, you know, with PBS, because he just gave Ken Burns, David Koch gave Ken Burns, Charlie's brother, $5 million. I can't compete with that, you know. So they control PBS, what you get to hear on PBS. They control the U.S. Supreme Court, five of nine judges. They control these massive right-wing operations, and the whole climate denial business is theirs. And they put about $500 million in the climate denial, because they're an oil company and they don't want any restrictions on their drilling. And they certainly don't want to be held responsible for having to close up those holes on the Osage Nation. So that's one. So we go back to, first they steal the oil, but they leave the poisons and they leave the open holes with the methane. When you're done drilling, you're supposed to close that drilling hole, but they didn't do it. Koch didn't do it. And the major oil companies didn't do it on the Osage Nation. And, you know, but again, what they're doing is the Kochs are using their multi-billion-dollar political treasure chest they basically own the senators from Oklahoma. They own the governor of Oklahoma. They own these states. They own Kansas. So you have to understand, this is what they do with their money. And we're going to expose the whole darn thing in Long Knife, the Osage Nation, Koch Oil, and the new killers of the Flower Moon. And so go to gregpalast.com. That's GREGPALAST.com, gregpalast.com, and find out when the films will be released. You can watch the trailers for both Long Knife and just heard about Vigilantes Inc., which is our voting rights movie. That will definitely be out before the election. It's got to be.
Yes,
I don't know when Long Knife will be out. Long Knife, by the way, the name comes is from the Osage language, which is Osage, and their name for the Bureau of Indian Affairs superintendent is Mahita, meaning long knife, because they used to always carry swords, these guys, so long knives, these swords that they're overlords from the U.S. government, they're occupiers. as the current chief says, Standing Bear, again, you know, he's a trial lawyer and a pretty he's a very straightforward business type man, but he says, look, this is a military occupation of our land. You've got a military occupation of our property still. It's as if is this George Custer and the cavalry were still there. Though I should say that the Osage actually were very friendly to George Custer, of all people, because they didn't like the Lakota. There are differences among groups. I just want to remind you that not everyone's all that unified. But indigenous people now are pretty unified in taking on the Bureau of Indian Affairs. But the Osage say this is enough. We're not mentally incompetent. Chairman Waller has his college degree. By the way, if you see the film Killers of the Flower Moon, you're going to get the medicine man gives a tremendous speech about this is genocide in the 20s. Mm. This is a destruction. Our allowing white people onto our property and into our families, these people are buzzards. We're just going to pick our bones clean. And it is many people like Lou Gladstone consider that the very best part of the film by Scorsese and DiCaprio. That is my man, the medicine man there is himself, the medicine man today, playing himself back 100 years. And when Scorsese handed him a script, he basically said, listen, white boy, you don't tell me what to say.
Wow.
I'm the medicine man. I say what I'm going to say to my people. And the speech he gives in that film is amazing. And it's entirely his own words. And you get the rest of his words. So when you see this powerful figure, this powerful medicine man in the film, understand he's the medicine man today, just playing himself back 100 years. And you will see him in our film. You'll see him out at the oil fields in his NYU, because his daughter's a NYU film student, in his T-shirt and his 10-gallon hat. Or you'll see him in his business suit when he's doing his lobbying. But you'll also see him in his traditional spiritual garb, where he is wearing a red coat that has been passed down from generations to the spiritualists, and he has his bound eagle feathers, and you'll see that in our film. So the guy holding the eagle feathers in Killers of the Flower Moon will be holding, those are really his eagle feathers, and he will be explaining them in our film Long Knife. So go to gregpalace.com. And I should also say, you know, I mean, I know you guys are looking for donations, always KPFK, and I appreciate it. And we'll try to work up something or get some people to our openings. But please always support the Greg Palace. We have our own foundation, too. So, but anyway, but the important thing, I don't care whether you give money or not. What I do care is that you get informed. Mm-hmm. And that means go to gregpalace.com. That's GREGPALAST. And read the article that that Trump's plan for 2024 is based on the Ku Klux Klan plan of 1946. And you'll also get the story of the Osage Nation.
Yeah, that is a way to definitely stay informed. And yes, let's turn to KPFK. And I would also like to ask you another fundamental question, but definitely worth talking about, which is, why do we care who pays for the media? You mentioned the Koch brothers' influence on.
Well, I just told you. I can't get this film about Koch, the Koch brothers, the Osage. I can't get on PBS because of the millions and millions and millions and millions that Kochs have given to PBS and people like Ken Burns to make sure that what you get is. They just did a story called, Buffalo, American Buffalo. And it ends with How to Save a Buffalo. And it showed a bunch of white people keeping buffalo as pets, you know. And I want to tell you, the Osage Nation took the original stock of buffalo. By the way, they're the only original prairie buffalo left in America. We're at the Bronx Zoo. And they took so they said, give us our buffalo back. And they took the Bronx Zoo buffalo, and they've now turned it into a massive herd of thousands of buffalo. They used to have millions, but now there are thousands of buffalo on the range, and that the Osage brought back from the original herd. And you'll see those buffalo, of course, in our film. But But you won't see it. You won't see the Osage on PBS. You won't see an attack on Coke Oil on. And those are the good guys. That's the good public TV, right? Forget Fox. Forget NBC or ABC. Forget the rest. So it is important who pays, because basically the whoever pays the piper calls the tune. And that's exactly what's happening. So, for example, I wrote a big piece about the Osage Nation when Killers of the Flower Moon came out. And I put it in The Guardian. I used to, for those who know me, Greg Palast, I used to be an investigative reporter for The Guardian. So The Guardian, I'm still on their masthead, ran my story about the Osage Nation and the film Killers of the Flower Moon, and how DiCaprio and Scorsese are helping the nation bring their story up to date. But I had to go to Britain. Why am I going to Britain to write about American natives? Why does it have to be in The Guardian? And just so you know, The Guardian, just like KPFK, is a not-for-profit organization. That makes a big difference too. So why do I have to go into exile? Why did Greg Palast have to go into exile as a reporter? And I'm well known for my stories about swiping the black vote, suppressing the black vote in America, which I started doing with Democracy Now! And Election Crimes Bulletin, which I still do tomorrow. I'll be on the Election Crimes Bulletin with Dennis Bernstein here on Pacifica KPFK. And how come I have to do those stories about American voting in British newspapers? And then I was on BBC television. So I'm reporting about America at the top of the BBC Nightly News, again, not-for-profit station, right? I'm reporting BBC Nightly News on vote suppression in America. I can't get that story into the United States of America, except on Pacifica. So I appreciate what Pacifica has done, whether it's Democracy Now!, Tom Hartman, especially. There's been no one that's been more helpful in getting the word out for my work, but Tom Hartman. And in Los Angeles, there's only one place to get Tom Hartman, and that's on this very station, KPFK Pacifica. So if you support Hartman, if you support Greg Palast, and you want to keep the word out, well, keep the lights on at KPFK.
Yes, definitely. And it is listener sponsored. And that is where we follow the money. We follow the money back to you and me and all of us. So please do give. It's kpfk.org. Click the fund drive link. And then when you do give your pledge, you can choose the amount that you can give. And then you can look at some really nice thank you gifts. And then you can also put, the Lawyers Guild show is the show that you listen to, because we do like that too. We like to know that you're listening. Oh, yeah. And Greg, you have some nice stories about listening to KPFK when you were young, don't you?
Right. Well, I've been a member of Pacifica stations for now 55 years.
Wow, it's almost since the start. I think it's 65 years old this year.
Yes, so yes, exactly. So I was one of the first listeners to KPFK when I was out and living in Pacoima, Sun Valley, the anus of Los Angeles, which is where I come from. And it was, to me, it was radio-free Los Angeles. Suddenly, instead of listening to, bubblegum rock, or the prefab news reports and traffic, I'm suddenly hearing Bob Dylan. I'm suddenly hearing, Martin Luther King. We praise him now, but when he was alive, Pacifica was about the only radio network that would take his speeches live. In fact, Pacifica was the only network that ran King's speeches live. And so it was a different world. So if it weren't for KPFK, I wouldn't be a reporter now. So it made me want to become a reporter. I said, I want the good stuff. But it's also what made me go into exile, because I found that I couldn't do the reporting I wanted and get paid for it, actually get out there. I mean, except unless I moved. So I literally moved my family to England and went to work for BBC Television and The Guardian, where I could tell my stories. And then I would take those BBC and Guardian stories, and I would run them on Democracy Now! or with Dennis Bernstein and Flashpoints. And so I was able to actually get BBC to pay for all these fancy reports. And I give them free to Pacifica. I'm laughing about it. So I've been donating a lot to Pacifica. I think I've raised $1 million plus. And
wow.
But what's important is that, and look, I'm going to be the first person to say, and I know some of you will say it with me, there's a lot of crap programming on KPFK. There is. Okay, we just have to admit it, that there's idiots, there's anti-Semites, there's nutcases. Ignore that, because that stuff will go away. But what has to stay is programs like the Lawyers Guild, like Flashpoints, like the Tom Hartman Show, like Democracy Now!, the shows that you hear Greg Palast on. Those are the flagships that will remain when the kind of creepy stuff that kind of has stuck itself into the station will go away. So if you're pissed off at one particular program, and I know a lot of people say, I'm not going to give because I heard, you know, Farrakhan's nutcases on or something like that. Don't do that. Remember why it's here. And yes, if some of it's a little bit off the wall, remember that you got some stuff that's right on point that you won't get anywhere else. And the only way to make sure that you get it is to pay for it. And otherwise, the Kochs will be paying for it, and then you know what you get.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that really is the diversity of ideas and diversity of culture. Yeah, you may not agree with everything, but that's free speech. That's free speech at its finest, is being able to air diverse viewpoints.
And yeah, some of it's pretty crappy. That's besides the point. I want people to say, yeah, I like the Lawyers Guild show. I like Democracy. I like Tom Hartman. I like Flashpoints. I want to support those programs. Don't worry about the rest. The important thing is that we get these things up, and also allows these programs to then also broadcast to the net by having, first we have the broadcast base, then you can download a lot of these shows. Is this program, by the way, going to be available on online?
Yes, on the archives as well as Spotify.
Okay.
But yeah. And I should remind listeners, 818-985-5735 or www.kpfk.org. And $25 is all it takes to be a member, by the way. So you can be a member, you can vote, you can even get involved with the listener station board, the LSB. You can, you know, there's all kinds of ways to get involved, be part of the community here. And hey, if you find that, you know, maybe you have a gift of broadcasting, hey, maybe you can have your own show, you know. So for listeners out there, I mean, we rely on volunteers. So
that's right. I just actually banging on my door was a character named Matt Sadia, who the great L.A. poet who does the Hispanic culture show, which will be, I guess, on Fridays. It's now on Fridays. So you're not going to get that anywhere else. And, you know, unless you come over to my house and hang out with Matt and I.
Yeah.
But if you want to keep this information about the Koch brothers, about vote suppression, about the Ku Klux Klan and how Trump is using Klan tactics, this is the spot for you. So make that call. And if you go online, why don't you type in, and looking for premiums, type in Palast, P-A-L-A-S-T, and see what swag they have. I know that because the station's moving, a lot of the swag was sent back to us, but we can get it to you. So I'm not too worried.
Yeah. The station it's undergone a lot of changes. It's gone a lot, you know, it's really taking a village, as they say. And Michael Novak has done an amazing job of keeping things going as a general manager. So yeah, I mean, stay involved. It's up to all of us. It's been 65 years. I mean, not only, you know, Bob Dylan and, you know, the folk movement, and it was also the jazz. Like, where else could you hear jazz, you know, back in the day? And now we still have amazing cultural and music programming here on KPFK. So yeah, 818-985-5735. Check out. And actually the premiums that I usually end up with is, I have a whole collection of KPFK mugs. So the little thank you gifts of KPFK swag as well. But yeah, so nearing our final couple of minutes here, Greg Palast, why don't you give us your two cents on how we can protect our right to vote and protect our right to free speech? What's your advice to to all of us.
Two things. I tell people, first of all, sign up at gregpalace.com. I don't send out stuff every week. I about once a month is when you get a message from me, which will be one of my articles. Like, for example, the Guardian article, since it's a British paper, I reprint it and send it out to all my subscribers. It doesn't cost anything to go to gregpalace.com and subscribe. That's GREGPALAST, and you get my Guardian article about the Osage Nation. You get my article about Trump using Klan tactics, and watch those. I think you'll enjoy the trailers. You want to send them around too. So in other words, what I'm saying is, if you don't know how they're stealing your vote, you can't stop it. In other words, if you don't know that someone's got their hand in your pocket, you don't know that your pocket's being picked. So you have to learn how it works and get the word out. So one way we protect the vote, the way we saved Reverend Warnock's Senate re-election was that when we showed our film Vigilante, we went to all these towns, little towns, churches throughout Georgia, to schools, community organizations, NAACP, Urban League, Rainbow Push, you name it. And we got the word out and got people excited about the fact that you have to check your registration. Like, one of the big things I tell people to do, and this is funny because I did this once on your sister station, KPFA. I said, in California and in almost every state, you can check your registration online, your registration status. Do that at least 60 days before an election. So that you can re-register if you're missing. You say, I've been voting the same place for 10 years. What do you mean I'm not registered? Well, there's all these vigilantes out there now that are challenging your vote, and you may not know it. I actually went on KPFK and I said, it's so easy to do. I'm going to do it on air right now. I'm going to check for myself. And I checked for Greg Palast and said, no such voter in California. Oh. So I re-registered right there on the spot, on the air. Wow. To say, here's how you do it. So that's the story. Do check your registration and tell everyone you know, especially if they're in places like Georgia or Florida or Texas or Arizona, to check their registrations. Just go online. Just make sure you're still registered to vote and some creepy, crawly vigilante hasn't challenged your vote or the state hasn't scrubbed your name off for some bogus reason. I see it all the time, and I'm at these polling stations. Like, for example, in Vigilante, there is a really heartbreaking moment where in the rain, there's a 94-year-old woman and her granddaughter, and her granddaughter's crying her eyes out. I say, what's wrong, dear? She said, we're just told that there's no record for her to allow her to vote, my grandmother to vote. Well, you know who her grandmother is? Her grandmother was Martin Luther King's cousin. So they literally stopped Martin Luther King's cousin from voting in Georgia because they said she didn't live in Georgia anymore. I went to her house down the street where she'd been living for more than half a century. And there were pictures of her in her dining room with her cousin, Martin Luther King. And yet they scrubbed her from the rolls. So if she had checked her registration before, now she thought, I don't have to check my registration. It's going to be her 50th year of voting. And so she thought, I don't have to check my registration. Well, yeah, she did, because she was challenged.
Wow.
So I want everyone to check their registration. I want everyone to see the films. And of course, sign up for the newsletter so that you're informed. Because then you can also get my newsletter. What we want people to do is like send it out to places like Georgia. Like California definitely has its voting problems, especially in primaries, where the Democratic Party sometimes has a bit of a Soviet instinct about it. It doesn't allow, the Democratic Party is very good with jacking with the votes as well as the Republicans.
Our theme music.
Okay.
So, that note, thank you, Greg Palast. This is the Lawyers Guild Show. We will see you next week. Please give and give often to KPFK 90.7 FM. Okay, thanks, Greg.
Got you later. Bye.
What life is really worth? It's an art that needs a scroll. After story has never been told.
Do you listen to KPFK when you start your day or throughout the day? How about in the evenings? When you think about it, you probably spend a lot more time with KPFK than you realize. And we thank you for making us a part of your routine. It's truly a privilege to be included in your life, which is one of the main reasons why we do all this. We know that our listeners rely on KPFK programming, and we hope that we can rely on your help for this service to continue. Help KPFK to move the conversation forward. Please pledge your financial support to KPFK right now, if you can, by going to kpfk.org/donate. Or you can dial 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Easy to remember. And we thank you for being part of the family.